Here on Radio 4, in half an hour, we'll catch up on The Week in Westminster. But first, he's one of the biggest pop stars on the planet. But the music he's released to the public is only a fraction of the vast quantity of songs he's recorded. Mubeen Azar sets out on the trail of one of the greatest mysteries in music, hunting for Prince's vault.
Most of us know the pop star Prince, the androgynous, alien Little Richard caricature who sings about sex and spirituality in the same breath. But in the city of Minneapolis, somewhere underground, there's a hidden chapter of his story.
It was as if somebody was pouring these songs into him, like a water spigot that wouldn't turn off. But instead of water, it was songs.
This is about a man driven by such powerful creative urges that he can't stop himself from making music. Even if he makes so much, he has to hide vast amounts away.
He would just pull tracks up and I'm like, whoa. His brain, he just works like that. He's like a Mozart to me.
This is the story of Prince's vault.
It's an actual vault, a big frickin' vault door with and then it goes open.
Prince rarely grants interviews, and when he does, he's infuriatingly opaque, reveling in the curiosity of his audience. Chat amongst fans queuing to see a Prince gig inevitably sparks conversations about one particular legend.
50% of the work he's ever done has never actually seen the light of day.
I think they're songs that he must have done at moments of high or low passion, and he just puts it all somewhere, and that is now known as the vault.
Every Prince fan wants a key for the vault.
When it comes to Prince, I'm not an impartial journalist. My life has been punctuated by Prince's music since I was a child, and I'm not alone in my obsession. Musicologist and former engineer Susan Rogers explains why Prince is truly exceptional.
Very rarely has an artist worn the triple crown, where the public loves them, where the critics praise them, and where other musicians admire the hell out of them.
Imagine this. If Prince was to leave the world tomorrow, there's enough unreleased music for an album once a year for the next 100 years. Prince himself once described his creativity as a curse, explaining, "If I didn't make music, I'd die." I want to separate the myth from the reality. So I'm heading to the snow of Minneapolis, Prince's hometown, and the place where he still records most of his music. I'm standing right outside Paisley Park. It looks like a kind of a big white mansion in the middle of the snow. There's so many riffs, so many chords, so many lyrics that I've listened to over my life that have been recorded in this building in front of me. I actually feel quite choked up being here. Prince was raised in this part of town. By 21, he already had a record deal and was on his first major tour. Dr. Fink played keys in the band and was instrumental in helping Prince establish his signature Minneapolis sound.
I had to, like, recreate some of the string parts during the...
I meet Dr. Fink in his basement studio in downtown Minneapolis and ask him to play the intro to 1999, arguably the most famous of Prince's synth lines.
All right.
I can't cope, Dr. Fink. This is too good. This is really...
The studio is adorned with platinum discs and pictures of Prince in full eyeliner and pout glory. He tells me that even early on in his career, there were signs of the flood of music that was about to come.
Well, he didn't sleep much. He just ate, slept, and drank music every day.
Give me an idea of how much he was recording.
One day, the band decided we were going to go to Disney World in Florida. We asked Prince to go along, and he was sitting outside of his hotel room on the balcony with a guitar and working on something, and that was the song When You Were Mine. He was writing that at that time for this Dirty Mind album.
So whilst you guys went to Disney, he recorded When You Were Mine?
He didn't want to go along. He said, no, you guys go ahead, have fun. His dedication was, no matter what he had open time for, it was dedicated to writing music. Love you more than I did
when you were mine. Were there any projects that you'd heard of that were recorded, that were worked on, but weren't necessarily released?
He wanted to have this alter ego band called The Rebels. It was done quickly. We were only there for about a week, and it was just rushing through stuff and writing.
He recorded the album in a week.
Yeah, and it was written on the spot.
So even at that very early stage, he started toying with alter egos and putting out music in different ways.
Yes.
What did The Rebels sound like? How was it different to a Prince solo album?
Pretty rock and roll-ish influences, more so than the R&B pop and funk he was doing.
Were you disappointed that it didn't come out?
It was a bit confusing for me at the time because it was so early in his career that he was attempting to do that.
The pattern of recording songs only to leave them on the studio shelf was fast becoming a habit. But the music that made it to the record store was making a big impact. 5 years and five albums since his debut, Prince was approaching superstardom.
I'm Susan Rogers. I was Prince's recording engineer. When I joined Prince in 83, he was preparing to do the movie Purple Rain.
His new engineer discovered he'd already amassed an entire alternative discography, a treasure trove of unreleased material.
I put as many of his multi-track tapes and his stereo tapes on the shelves as I could find, but I was aware there were a lot of pieces that were missing. So I asked people who worked for him, where would I find the masters for this or for that? And they said to me, they're probably at Warner Brothers. Just call them. And they might be at this studio or that studio. So I started doing that. I got on the phone and I started saying, do you have any Prince tapes there? Can you send them to me? And they would box them up and they'd send them. Then it became a little bit of an obsession. So then when my goal was, I want us to have everything he's ever recorded. If we're going to have a vault, let's have a vault. When I left in 87, it was nearly full.
If stories of unreleased songs aren't enough to make fans wince, Prince is known to have actively sabotaged some of his compositions. Susan Rogers recalls him coming to the studio after splitting up with his then-fiancé. She tells me the night's recording was inspired.
It starts with spoken word, and he's speaking to Wally. Wally was a member of his crew, and he compliments Wally on his glasses, and he asks, can I try them on? You know, I'm going to a party tonight, and I want to look good. And then he goes into a chorus, and he's repeating the word, oh my la-di-da, oh my la-di-da. And it's a play on words, because it's like, oh my melody. And it's also like, oh my malady, my sickness. So we recorded this song and it was beautiful, just beautiful. And he said, now, put all 24 tracks in record and erase it.
He said, erase the song.
Erase it from top to bottom. And I said, what? At that point, I could feel the fan in me and the fans of the world screaming, no, no, don't do it, don't do it. And I said, no, no, don't do this. Think about it. He said, do it. And I said, please, are you sure? And then he said, I'll do it. And he reached over and put all 24 tracks in record ready. And he hit record. And he erased it. It's gone.
By the mid-80s, Prince was arguably the biggest star on the planet. Stateside, he'd topped the album, single, and movie chart simultaneously with releases from Purple Rain. It would have made commercial sense for Prince to stick to a winning formula, but that just didn't interest him. Prince called on saxophonist Eric Leeds to help him broaden his sound beyond the funk rock soul that had become his trademark. It was time for Prince to go jazz.
Eric Leeds and I played saxophone with Prince. I remember there was a week where I was out in L.A. in Sunset Sound, I think late 85, where Sheila and Prince and I and Wendy and Lisa were going in the studio almost every night to just play all instrumental stuff. And that's some of the most enjoyable stuff that I have. He thought about releasing that as an instrumental project that he was going to call The Flesh. There was one extemporaneous jam that we did, and it was something that went on for like 45 minutes, nonstop.
Was The Flesh going to be a kind of Prince project, or was it a side project?
I actually sequenced an album. He actually threw all this stuff to me, and this was wonderful, because I'd only been with him for now maybe a year. And all of these sessions, he then told me, here, edit them, do whatever you want with them, make me an album. So I took this 45-minute thing, we called it Junk Music, and I sequenced an album.
The album was called Junk Music.
I don't know if it was going to be called that, but it was just going to be The Flesh.
Prince's vault was building at a ferocious rate, with entire